Today's featured guest, Bill Murphy from Gotta and La Metropole Cafe. Bill Murphy at the helm of the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, GATA, with Chris Powell working on behalf of all of investors, exposing all the market manipulation in the sector. Welcome back, Bill Murphy.
Great to be here, Chris. Thank you.
So you're down there at Ground Zero near what was a Category 5 hurricane, I understand, in New Orleans. How are things?
Oh, it's fine today, thanks. Everything's calmed down, and the weather's great for the New Orleans Investment Conference, which I'm down here for.
How's the conference going?
Well, it's just about to get started, and my buddy Chris Powell is leading it off, so I'm looking forward to get down there in another hour or so and listen to him.
That's going to be quite a conference. Wanted to start off, if I could, today with the big precious metals rally. We haven't had you on in several weeks, and since then, give us an idea of what you see, please.
Well, we're going the right way, and today was especially encouraging in the terms of silver, because we know what the gold cartel is throwing the kitchen sink at these markets. Based on the open interest in gold, for example, is as high as it was when gold was at 1650. I mean, you have to be kidding me. I mean, normally, you know, open interest would tank with the price going down. And the silver open interest, which was high all year, had begun to go down and was moving right back up again, up in nearly 20,000 contracts off its low. So they are trying to keep these prices contained, even though the news is incredibly bullish via what's happened in China and Europe and so on. And today, you know, for the first time, you know, silver took out some key resistance at 1620 and was really surging all day until they dumped gold on the close, $4. It was a good day, and the key will be follow through. This is what the gold cartel does not allow. We had, you know, a good day in both gold and silver. Silver is leading the pack. You've got a Fed meeting this afternoon. If gold and silver can move up nicely tomorrow, we might really have something.
We're also hearing about supply constraints and issues in the silver market. Now, I've brought this up before most of my guests recently, but I think it's worth mentioning again, and that's all the shortages, or at least, you know, they're putting some constraints on the Royal Canadian Mint, the Perth Mint, the British Royal Mint, as well as the U.S. Mint, all of them seemingly rationing their distribution of silver coins. As I mentioned earlier this week on the show, why would they be doing that? I mean, if it were one or two isolated events, but it's happening on a more global basis. Do you think that maybe investors are a little wiser than our policymakers and officials regarding silver?
Well, first of all, the big shortage is in the coin market, not necessarily so much in the, you know, the wholesale market, the bigger market. And at the same time, you know, the smart guys like I know, like in terms of the fundamentals, and Eric Sprott and David Morgan, who will be at this conference, we can't figure out where the supply is coming from. And I have my theories. I think I've mentioned it before, but we're hoping that they're hitting the wall in this rationing process in the coin market is because they know what's coming. And we don't know how they've kept the price down at these pitiful levels for so long, but we expect a price explosion, at least myself and my colleagues do. And we just don't, you don't know where till you're there till after the fact. And today was a great sign because it's changed the price pattern of the way silver has been trading for years, in the sense of if it follows through and this means anything. Or you can't, if it's a one-day wonder, well, so what? But if it follows through tomorrow and you get some action and we can take out 1850, it could mean that what we're seeing in the retail market is a big deal, and they're desperately trying to keep the price down. And if it fails above 1850, it's going to explode.
I think you're right. And, you know, technically interesting developments, I think, over the past couple of months. Bottom action is what Peter Schiff referred to it recently on the show. And you'll be on this week with John Embry from Sprott Asset Management. And, of course, they've been great to us. Eric Sprott, John Embry, and several of their partners.
Well, I'm tired of griping, I can tell you that. I'm not a negative person, but it's hard not to be negative after when you see what J.P. Morgan and the gold cartel has done to these prices, and they just always attack. And let's just hope this time that we've hit what I would call a tipping point, in which they're just unable to keep the prices down. We know how short the commercials are, the gold cartel, and yet the prices start is rebuff them a bit, and that they don't like something like that. And if we could take off from here, and you know, silver keeps going, and then gold can get through 1,200. We could really have something just when the sentiment is still terrible.
Well, speaking of sentiment, you know, sentiment improving now that the Fed keeps backpedaling on their higher rates mantra. Virtually no chance of a rate hike on this Thursday at 2 p.m. by Fed policymakers and Fed governors there. The odds now, the Fed funds are virtually zero. And then, of course, later this year in December, beginning of 2016, it looks like very slim odds, maybe 20-30% chance of them pulling the trigger on higher rates. That certainly bodes well for the precious metals. But I think on a longer term basis, should precious metals investors be asking themselves, eventually they're going to have to pull the trigger here, probably 2016 or 2017, and would that give us then that ultimate bottom?
Well, there's different ways to look at it. First of all, low interest rates and market stimulation and QE has been bearish for gold in terms of the price action. We've had that since 2011, and we've had a four-year-plus bear market. It has been nothing because of the market manipulation. I mean, that's the only thing that has mattered. You can throw all the fundamentals out the window, all this talk out the window from where I'm coming from. It depends whether they have the physical market, physical supply to keep the pressure on gold and silver, or they're going to explode. It'll have nothing to do with anything else.
I think it's a great way to look at it. What else is going on in these markets? I know that you're hearing all kinds of inside information, I'm sure, from many of your contacts and folks at the conference.
Well, we're just getting into it, and I'm looking forward to speaking to some of the others out there. But I think basically, you know, from where I come from and, you know, Chris Powell comes from, I mean, it gets down to what they've done. And that is really the key. And, of course, that's our specialty or our field, and people might think, well, that's the way, you know, the God of Camp would look at it, but we do, and it all boils down to that. So I'm interested in hearing from people whether the fundamentals are allowed to take hold, things that haven't worked all these years. I mean, how much Chinese buying do the Chinese have to do for it to make a difference? You know, and where are they getting the silver from? And if that physical supply is drying up from the gold cartel's ability to feed the market, then we're going to see something spectacular. And we just don't know if we're there yet.
You mentioned the Chinese central bank, and we keep hearing now that they're increasing their stockpile. And what I find most compelling about the PBOC argument that they could become the buyer of last resort, or at least, you know, remain a top buyer of the yellow metal. They have a huge stockpile of dollars, but virtually no gold relative to the rest of the world, something like 1,500 tons. That's nothing relative to the United States and, you know, Central Europe. Those stockpiles are really tiny, and that gives them, I think, a tremendous amount of wiggle room and incentive to take advantage of these low prices on gold and silver. And, you know, with that mentality that they tend to have ingrained in the culture of a long-term view and vantage point, I'm sure from a strategic basis that they are just pouncing on any size that they can find in the markets. Any comments?
First of all, you know, many of us think that their real reserves are much higher than they're reporting. And I guess they have their own reasons, but it doesn't make sense that it would be that low as 1,500 tons. It should be much, much higher, and who knows what the number is. But yes, I mean, obviously they have, and you're right, they have every reason to take dollars and buy gold as cheaply as possible. They know what's coming, and I've mentioned that before. Spoken to the Chinese Investment Corporation, their sovereign wealth fund, many times, three times, you know, years ago. And so the Chinese know what Gata knows, and they know how artificially cheap gold is. And so, and they think long-term, as you well know, so for them to accumulate cheap gold here is a big winner for them and gives them diversification.
Although they might have a smaller official stockpile, even if they don't have a hidden hoard of gold somewhere, at least their metal is unencumbered, whereas most, if not all, of the metal in the Western world, in the United States, in most of Europe, is highly levered, hypothecated through numerous different swaps and related machinations and strategies, which really makes one wonder how much is owned by whom. And then there's the other component, which is when gold enters China, it doesn't leave because essentially it's illegal, or at least frowned upon, to ship gold offshore. You know, you have the highest demand from the largest producer and the largest consumer, and they don't like sharing their gold. It's a win-win, all-around win situation for the precious metals. All right, well, I know you've got a conference to go to, and we hope you'll say hello hello to Chris Powell and everyone else on behalf of GoldSeek. Bill Murphy, as we wrap up today, any parting comments?
Well, just keeping my fingers crossed that times have changed. We're sick and tired of this year after year of this nonsense, and if it has changed and we get going from here, it could be very exciting, and I think, you know, the shares are could make moves up that will be historic and in terms of their magnitude, and we shall see. And there was too many. We've had too many false starts. So the market will tell us what's up.
I like that Freudian slip. Hysterics. I think hysterics are what the shorts will be experiencing in the coming years. All right, Bill Murphy from Gata, as well as La Metropole Cafe. Why don't you give people an idea of the services you provide and any contact information, please?
Well, people can sign up for the Gata email list. Go to gata.org, and Chris Powell puts that out. And people can sign up for a two-week free trial with what I do at the La Metropole Cafe and see if it is of interest. And we've been at it a long time, and we're going to stay at it till we win. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.